reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He's like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. More torturous than all else is the human heart. Beyond remedy, who can understand it? I, the Lord, alone probe the mind and test the heart, to reward everyone according to his ways, according to the merit of his deeds. Verbum Domini. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed are they who hope in the Lord.
Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the nether world, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames." Abraham replied, "My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment." But Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." He said, "Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Then Abraham said, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead."
Verbum Domini.
The gospel reading today is a continuation of a discourse that runs throughout chapter 16 of Luke's gospel. And the chapter begins with a parable that Jesus addresses to his disciples about the actions taken by a dishonest steward. And at the end of the parable, the master commends the dishonest steward for acting prudently, since he was about to lose his stewardship position. Jesus then says to his disciples, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And at this point, the Pharisees enter the picture. And they had apparently overheard what Jesus had been saying to his disciples, and they ridicule Jesus. And Luke suggests that the reason for this behavior from the Pharisees is that they are lovers of money. The Pharisees pride themselves on their knowledge of the law and enjoy receiving honors and titles from others. And since they are lovers of money, it is no surprise that they reject this teaching of our Lord about serving two masters, and they ridicule Jesus. They wish to retain both their religion and their wealth. And Jesus responds to the ridicule of the Pharisees by saying to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone enters it violently. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void." And this teaching of Jesus is reinforced by St. Paul in his letter to the Galatians, where he teaches, "Now before faith came, we were confined under the law, kept under restraint until faith should be revealed, so that the law was our custodian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." According to Jesus, then, the law and the prophets were in place until the coming of John the Baptist, who preached the good news of the kingdom of God. And the announcement of the kingdom is good news to the poor and to those who make themselves poor in the eyes of God, that is, those who humble themselves and repent of their sins. And ever since the ministry of John the Baptist, Jesus says that everyone who enters the kingdom of God enters by force or violence. Now, of course, he's not speaking of literal physical violence, but metaphorically. And who are the ones who enter the kingdom by violence? Those who repent and believe in the gospel. Strictly speaking, those who have sinned are not worthy to enter the kingdom. The stipulations of the law forbid it. And yet, with the coming of Christ and the preaching of the gospel, humanity has been liberated from the curse of the law and has been given the gift of sonship in the Son, Jesus Christ. However, the mercy of God does not nullify the law and the prophets that precede the preaching of the gospel. It is for this reason that Jesus says it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. If a person who is knowledgeable of the law still decides to willingly act contrary to the law, then they have rejected the salvation that Christ has come to offer. And since they have rejected God's mercy, their sin remains. All this context is crucial to understanding the parable from today's reading about the rich man and the poor man Lazarus. The rich man is not condemned for being wealthy. He is not even condemned directly for neglecting the poor man Lazarus, although that is an essential factor in the judgment against him. He is condemned for completely disregarding the law of God concerning care for the poor. Notice that the rich man in the parable is not blamed for causing Lazarus's impoverished state. There is no indication that the rich man is responsible for Lazarus's poverty. Also, the rich man is most likely an observant Jew. When he goes to the netherworld and sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, the man immediately recognizes his father, Abraham. And as a rich man, he would likely have been well-educated and well-versed in the scriptures. He would have heard the readings from the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, which contain numerous precepts of the Mosaic Law. He would also have heard the readings from the books of the prophets, read Sabbath after Sabbath. And he would have heard such precepts as Deuteronomy 15, where it says, "If there is among you a poor man, one of your brethren, in any of your towns within your land, which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake." And the rich man would have also heard Leviticus 19, which says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field to its very border. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God." And from the writings of the prophets, the rich man would have heard passages such as Isaiah 58, where the Lord says, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." And yet, despite this his exposure to the Word of God through his religious observances, the rich man dines sumptuously every day, while the poor man Lazarus starves to death outside his door. And since the rich man has chosen to disregard the law and the prophets and has ignored the poor man who is in dire need, the fortunes of both the rich man and Lazarus are reversed in the netherworld. Lazarus receives his consolation at the bosom of Abraham, since he has suffered needlessly and unjustly during this life. On the other hand, the rich man finds himself in severe torments, in the flames, and suffers the thirst that Lazarus had endured during his lifetime. Since he showed no concern for the suffering of Lazarus and disregarded the law of God. And upon hearing the gospel of Jesus, the rich man could have repented of his sin, received mercy and forgiveness, and amend his ways by attending to poor Lazarus. But he shows no sign of repentance. He prefers to bask in his wealth and in his worldly comforts during his earthly life, and thus pays the ultimate price in the netherworld. And the rich man then pleads with Abraham to send Lazarus back to his family, to warn them as well. You know, apparently neglect of the laws of God runs in his family. Abraham refuses to do so because they already have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they should already know what is required of them, since it is contained in the law and the prophets. They cannot claim ignorance of the law of God. And when the rich man claims that someone rising from the dead would convince them to repent, Abraham responds, "If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead." Now keep in mind that Jesus is telling this parable to the Pharisees, the lovers of money. They love to boast of their knowledge and their observance of the law of Moses, and yet they find themselves in the same boat as the rich man in the parable. Despite the best efforts of our Lord to call the Pharisees to repentance, they only harden their hearts even more. And what is ironic about Abraham's words to the rich man is that the Pharisees will eventually hear stories of a man rising from the dead. And this man's name is Jesus. Yet even this news is not enough to convince them to repent and to believe in the Son of God. As Abraham has said to the rich man, they are not persuaded by someone rising from the dead. So the gospel reading today reminds us that the mercy of God and the forgiveness of sins is freely offered to us in Jesus Christ. The good news is that Christ has come to set us free from our sinfulness and our disobedience of the law. However, an essential requirement to receive the forgiveness of sins is that we humble ourselves before the Lord, acknowledge our sins, repent, and make a firm resolution to amend our lives. We cannot receive mercy from the Lord if we remain obstinate in our sin and refuse to turn away from them. If we choose to sinfully indulge in luxury and worldly comforts while ignoring the commandments to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, then we have not yet truly repented. All the religious observances, practices, worship, prayers, and devotions in the world will not save a sinner who is unrepentant. We must be willing to cease doing evil and learn to do good, knowing that our Lord is patient and merciful and can sympathize with our human weaknesses. You know, we do fall from time to time, but our Lord is merciful and he's patient with us. And so as we prayed in the collect at the beginning of Mass today, at the end of our lives, we wish to be found by the Lord to be steadfast in faith and effective in works.